and welcome to episode 127 of the Chase the Red Grape podcast. I'm Jen, here with David.
Hello.
And today we are going to talk about all things green. Do you know what? This is a kind of topic that kind of grinds my gears a bit because we hear about it all the time, about being green and what you're supposed to be doing and everything that's going on, and you know, you're hearing the words green and sustainability and all those kind of things that sound like that in some shape or form, and for a lot of the time folks are just getting overwhelmed.
Yeah, I think so.
And you're either being bombarded with stuff that you have to do or you feel guilty for not doing. Or on the other hand, you're hearing things like, well, last week it was that they found traces of plastic up in the polar ice caps, like in the snow, like actual traces of plastic, which is crazy. And it makes everyone go, okay, this is shocking. What can we do? But those kind of stories never follow on with something like what we can actually do to help fix it or make it better or
something practical, almost.
Yeah, and I think what I've realised from conversations that we've had and conversations I've had with other people and just the research that I've done myself and the research that we've done together is that we can do something to help, but it's not the great big grand gestures of, you know, sending money to places or, you know, spending your entire life around doing the quote-unquote perfect thing when it comes to being green.
Yeah, or the elaborate things like installing your whole roof with solar panels or buying a Tesla.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like those big, you know, I'll put a wind turbine on the top of my house.
Yeah.
Jobs.
You know, it isn't... That's not what we can all do individually to help fix this. I mean, yes, it would be great if we could all afford to put solar panels on our roof and a wind turbine and, you know, turn all of our rubbish into biofuel for our car and things like that.
Yeah, that would be the absolute idea.
You know, we're not there. Some people are, and that's great if you want to go and do that. But, you know, we can't do it all, but we can do something. And consistency and small is better than not doing anything at all. It's those small little things all added up that make the biggest changes. And we can build on that as we go. So I think what we've realised is we started small and there's little things in our world that we started doing. And then we've slowly built on from that. When those small things become routine and we feel like we can take on a bit more responsibility or we can do something new or we can try something else. And we have found out that this is the way to make things stick. This is the way to make a difference. And I want everybody out there to realize that if you're doing something, then you should pat yourself on the back and you should feel proud about what you're doing because something is so much better than nothing. As long as you're doing it consistently.
And it's that classic, it's whether it's recycling or exercise or food habits, it's the sum of all the little things that adds up rather than the one big splashy thing that you only do once.
Yeah, for sure. And also, those small things that you do, other people copy as well.
This is true.
And then they do it too. It's just making it a routine and also not stressing about it. Do it because it makes you happy and you want to do it and it makes you feel good.
Yeah, don't be green shamed.
No, or be a green shamer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Don't want to do that.
See, now I've just got this picture of this green monster in my head. Like some kind of crazy Sesame Street type thing that's...
No, David. The ultimate green shamer, Captain Planet.
Oh, yeah, he was.
You know.
But he was a hero.
That is true. So we were led to believe. So maybe we just need to... All this Marvel stuff's going on. Maybe they just need to bring back Captain Planet. And we will all be okay.
Is Captain Planet Marvel?
Okay, I don't know what Captain Planet Marvel is. Okay, you know what we're going to be Googling once this podcast is over. But what can we do? So what are we doing that makes us feel good and makes us feel like we're doing our bit. So the first thing I think that everyone can do in some shape or form is say no to plastics. We are very lucky that we live in a country that has actually banned giving plastic shopping bags for free.
Yeah.
So you can get a shopping bag from the store when you buy something, but you have to pay 5 pence towards it if it's a regular plastic bag, 10 pence if it's a slightly thicker one, or even up to £1 sometimes if it's a more sturdy bag, or that's,
you know, bag for life style stuff.
Yeah, if that's what you want to go for. But we have to pay if we want a plastic bag, no matter where you are, from a tiny little corner shop to a big supermarket or a clothing store. You have to pay for it. And guess what's happened? Everyone takes their recycling bags with them.
And that, I think that was a genius move by the UK government, because what they did was they basically said to retailers, you're going to have to charge for these bags now, but you're not going to make any money from that. You have to give that money to charities. Now, it's up to you which charity, but you can't make money off this. So there's not the incentive necessarily for the shop to force that on you or be sneaky or accidentally pack your bags, you know, before you've had a chance to agree or not, because they're not making any money from it. And yeah. I think that was the smart way to go. Just a little change, but people that were already doing their own bags were already doing it. But it just encouraged other people to go, oh, heck no, I'm not spending. It was probably only 20p per shop, but it all adds up. And we didn't like to pay for something that we didn't want to anymore. So yeah. We changed almost overnight.
And if you don't live in the UK and you're not kind of quote-unquote forced to do this, all I will say is if you come across people who turn around and say, oh, this is too hard, or I always forget my bags and I leave them in the car, or, you know, who has a bag on them? Believe me, after a couple of months of this being the case in the UK, people just learn to deal with it. And the odd one out now is the person walking down the street with actual shopping bags from shops.
Yeah, I mean, the almost market for kind of these reusable bags has kind of exploded a bit, to the point where I have a tiny little bag that obviously folds out just always on me.
Yeah.
So if I kind of go out not thinking I'm going to do any shopping, but, oh, look, I picked something up, pop, you know, it's like 3-4 centimetres long.
And everyone's got their own like cool bags for using and things like that. And, you know, you just need to get into the habit of using them.
Exactly. And that, again, as we've said, it's a habit forming kind of thing.
And what else can we say no to plastic on? Definitely packaging. We all know that packaging is a huge deal when it comes to plastic. And we can do big things like put pressure on our supermarkets to not put things in so much plastic packaging. We can do things like only buy items that are in cardboard or glass, you know, things that can be recycled to the point where they can be reused. And we can just not buy things that are wrapped in plastic. That's not always the case. I know there's some supermarkets that are better than others, especially when it comes to like fresh produce. You're pretty much always going to have to buy your carton of milk in plastic unless you're really lucky and they use glass, or you get a milkman coming to you. Mm. But what we found is we can just make different choices in the supermarket. So if you look harder, sometimes you can find things loose rather than in packaging.
Or less packaging.
Yeah.
If you really have to. This is a do your best kind of thing. To go completely plastic free is going to be really quite tough, especially if you have to rely on supermarkets. So it's just a do the best you can. You know, if you can pick up two things and you go, well, this one's got 17 layers of plastic in it, this one only has one, maybe that's the better choice.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do it on a, you know, on a you basis.
It's keeping it in mind, I think, that really is. There's other little things that you can do. You can buy some metal or glass straws or bamboo straws and use them instead of plastic straws. I know I would never buy plastic straws for the house now, but when you're out and about and you order a nice coffee or a cocktail, especially with a cocktail, I think it's really easy to just turn around and go, no, I don't want a straw. And with iced coffee, metal straws, I mean, I just got a little bag that I could keep my straw in my handbag. And whenever I was out and about and we had a nice coffee, just whipped out my metal straw.
Yeah.
There were some places when we were in Australia that didn't use metal straws anymore. They had paper straws. But if that wasn't the case, then I just used my metal straw and that was fine.
And that one, sometimes you kind of have to preempt that one. So, you know, especially say like the cocktails, they might automatically pop a straw in or whatever, or the iced coffee. So, you know, again, don't beat yourself up if you forget.
No.
But if you've got it in your head, or especially if it's somewhere you go a lot and you kind of know what they're like, then you kind of know what to expect.
Along this line is also a keep cup for your coffee or hot drink. You know, it's great if you have a keep cup and you can take it with you and you remember to take it with you. Once again, in Australia, it was kind of the norm that people did that rather than using a paper cup from the coffee shop when they had a takeaway. But, you know, if you don't have one, maybe try and remember to use it, maybe keep it in your car if that's where you tend to be. I know a lot of big chain coffee shops like Starbucks give you a discount now if you take your keep cup with you, and that all adds up, so you're getting a little bit of a benefit as well.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just something that you might want to purchase or keep in mind. And something else that we have just been introduced to that we really love are beeswax wraps. These are wraps that can be used instead of, well, we call it cling film. In Australia, they call it glad wrap. And in America, they call it saran wrap. Is that right?
The clear plastic thing that sticks to you whenever you're trying to use it and it's annoying.
And you wrap your things in to keep them fresh. So anyway, we've got these beeswax wraps. They're wraps that are made from the byproduct of making honey, and they use the wax. The wraps are coated in wax, and you can wrap anything in them when they're pliable, so they will stick to bowls. They will be able to wrap your sandwiches. We keep our bread in them. And it keeps it so fresh, the bread.
Yeah.
We also, I find that they're really good for wrapping up your avocado and putting in the fridge if you've already cut into it, so it keeps it fresh. I know people swear by using them for their iceberg lettuce and things like that, which is obviously something that really easily goes off. And cheese, they are the best thing in the world to wrap your cheese in, and they will keep your cheese fresh for weeks.
And you just give them a wash at the end of it.
Yep, hot soapy wash. And now that we've got some, I was gifted some from my mum, and now that we've got them and we're using them, I'm like, how did I do without these?
Yeah.
It's so good. So what else can you do? You can eat local. This is something that we try and really focus on. Where does your produce and your meat come from? So we are not telling you that everyone has got to go grass-fed, free-range, pasture-raised, you know, completely perfect, you know, your farmer produce, and it's just come from down the road. That's not practical, but what you can do is just be more aware and be aware of the choice that you're making. So we would only ever buy British meat.
Yeah.
We're lucky in Britain that is something that we can do. So therefore, our meat as a whole, because we're quite a small island, won't have travelled that far.
No, and we're lucky that here has very good meat standards as well, so we get some really good stuff.
Yeah, being part of the EU means that we've got high standards for our animal welfare and for meat production and what they can or mostly can't do to their meat which is really good.
For now.
Yeah, we're all kind of worried about, well, David and I are worried about how that's going to change when we leave the EU, but that's something to worry about on another date. For now.
And as you say, we'll be aware of it.
Yeah, for now we've got really good meat. But if you live somewhere else and, you know, just try and just read the label, see where your meat's coming from. And with regards to produce, really think about that. That is really where you can make such a difference environmentally.
Yes.
So eat what's in season, because you've got to remember all these different fruits and vegetables that aren't in season. Like if it's the middle of winter and you're eating strawberries, that should be a warning bell. Where on earth did they have to grow to exist, and how far away have they been shipped so that you can have them? And how on earth are they still quote unquote fresh?
Yeah.
You know, if you really want strawberries and it's not the time of year for it, that's when you head to the freezer department of the supermarket and you buy frozen, because that will at least be picked when they're fresh. And, you know, for us personally, we kind of have a ranking system. So when it comes to our fruit and veg, top priority is obviously buying British. That's yeah. where we would ideally like to buy them all from. But just with our climate, there are certain things that we can't get in Britain. Things like sweet potatoes, butternut squash. Two things that could be grown in Britain, but just aren't. Like in the summer, your stone fruits, a lot of apples as well.
Yeah.
And so then we go to our next level of ranking, which is to get it from Europe. As long as we can get it from Europe, we're pretty happy. Because when we lived in Australia, we were happy to get things from Sydney and Adelaide and Brisbane. You know, we counted yeah. them as being local. So believe it or not, being in Britain and getting something from Poland, that's probably a closer distance than...
That was probably still within Western Australia.
Yeah. and a lot of things as well come from the very tip of North Africa, so Egypt and Morocco. But again, that's still kind of within our realm.
Yeah, and I think one of the other ones to keep in mind that we kind of noticed that I hadn't really thought about a while ago was you'll go to a market and you'll have your fruit and veg there and you think, oh, fantastic, you know, supporting someone local. Yeah, and yes, that greengrocer is local, but we still need to be careful because a lot of those produce are still not like from farmer down the road. They're still from, you know, far away. You've still got your grapes from Chile and your apples from New Zealand and things like that. So even in that situation, yeah, it's great to support a local company, but within that,
still
be careful where the thing has actually come from.
Just ask questions. It means you've got someone there you can ask questions to.
Yeah, exactly. And if they get enough of those questions, then they'll think, well, hang on, people are getting a bit ticked off that I've got New Zealand apples when...
I really like the fact that Tesco, which is a supermarket here, have British flags on everything.
Yeah, it makes life
like
a lot easier.
Like they want to basically shout from the rooftops, come over here, look at this, it's made in Britain.
Yeah.
And that never steers us wrong. And I know you also wanted to speak about honey.
Yeah, honey, we were at a workshop the other week and we had a local honey producer and he was really saying about be really, really careful about your honey. Even if it's a company that's your country, because a lot of honey can have very mixed elements of it. And he was particularly warning of honey from Asia in particular, because they use a lot of pesticides and I think it was antibiotics. I might not be quoting this quite right. Lots of nasty things in their honey for it to be stable, for it to survive, and then you're blending that up with other honey. So your honey might on the front say, you know, in our example, made with British honey. Correct, but it's also 50%, you know, Chinese or something like that. So it's that kind of just once again that just read the labels, because just because it says it's made with British or Australian honey doesn't mean that it is made 100% of that. And I know that Australia, I remember a few months ago, Australia had a big issue where they basically found that a lot of their honey was mislabeled. Not like, oopsie-daisy, we stuck the wrong label on, but like really badly, basically fraudulently put on what it was when it wasn't from that location. So once again, if you find a local person that can do it for you, then fantastic. But always read the labels, because sometimes the labels are sneaky, sneaky.
And it's a lot of the Manuka honeys that that's the case for. Manuka honey only exists in New Zealand. So if the back of your pot doesn't say 100% New Zealand honey, it's not Manuka honey. It may have 5% Manuka honey from New Zealand in it, and the rest is just nasty honey. So just watch out for that.
And even if it is 100% Manuka honey, it's still coming from the other side of the world, where we are anyway right now. So if you're in the States or in the UK, that's really far, and you'll probably actually do better for getting some local honey, because then you've got the local flavours, the local ingredients, just better for you in general.
Well, it actually gives you a small dose of the pollen that is in the fields surrounding where the bees are collecting the pollen from. And that small dose of pollen helps you become resistant to it. So especially if you've got allergies, if you have a little dose of it, your body actually gets used to it. And a lot of people who had really bad hay fever previously, if they take honey, local honey every day, they're actually...
it's helping them a lot.
Well, it's actually curing their hay fever. Yeah.
So if you're eating New Zealand honey, then you're sorted if you go to New Zealand one day. But in the meantime, your hay fever here is rubbish.
And a quick one. Obviously, we could all do a bit better by holidaying nearby rather than flying off somewhere. Yes, we have just come back from the other side of the world, but we spent 4 years there, and we only did that long haul flight back to the UK 3 times in total, and 2 of those was going there and coming back. So
yeah, exactly.
Also, that would be 2 return flights actually.
Yes, we just had 1 return flight 4 years apart.
But you could, I mean, try and focus on less plane travel. You know, we've got some really good public transport that you can use instead of going on an airplane. And you know, maybe you can do a holiday where you could drive, walk, bike, you know.
Yeah,
you can just maybe rethink your holiday.
And again, this isn't meant to be, not that I'm saying you are, but it's not meant to be in any kind of preachy way or anything like that, because we're probably going to jump on a plane at some point and go somewhere. But it's the whole, once again, lots of small actions rather than one big action.
And realising that you paying for that flight to be off, your carbon footprint to be offset, that's not making as much of a difference.
Well, you're kind of causing a problem then trying to plaster up that just not causing it.
But, you know, like, We are going to be using airplanes, and we're not shaming anyone there.
We're not going to be cycling up to your mum and dad's anytime soon. We might still take the car.
A way to kind of help fix that is support local tourism. So, you know, holiday on your door. And I'm not saying you have to have a staycation and stay at home. You can, you know, go in the car for a couple of hours and, you know, drive away. There is so much local tourism, no matter where you are, that's really cool. And I bet you've never discovered it, you know, just a couple of hours from your doorstep.
Yeah,
and
you're probably relatively close to like a national park or something like that. Vibe.
For the past couple of years when we were in Australia, most of our holidays were couple of hours down south, and we had the best time. We're going away for a few days next month, and you know, we've got a lot in Britain that we've never explored, and you know, we're going to a new place, and it's an hour and a half in the car from here, but it'll be really fun and exciting to just kind of explore a new area.
Exactly.
But you know, just keep in mind the planet when you're going on holiday. That's all we ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. And last but no means least, the one thing that I think we're all doing something about right now is recycling. And I know that everybody in some shape or form is recycling right now, but what we would say to you is really know your recycling. So not necessarily what can and can't be recycled in terms of looking at the back of your packaging and things like that. That's the second step. The first thing you have to do is know what your council accepts. So the people who come and pick up your recycling and take away your recycling bin, you should know what they accept and what they don't accept in terms of recycling. Yeah. So normally local councils, different local authorities have different recycling facilities and they don't all accept the same things. There was things in Glasgow that we could recycle that we can't recycle here. There were things in Australia they could recycle that we can't recycle here. And you may have things that you think, oh, that can be recycled. A yogurt pot, that can be recycled because it's got that little symbol on the bottom that says it can. And yes, it can, technically, but not by your local authority. So therefore, if you're putting things in your recycle bin that cannot be recycled, you're actually tainting everything that goes in that bin. Yeah.
Well, either someone has to sort it out, and obviously that then slows everything down or makes it more costly, or as you say, some things slip through and they just have to be thrown away along with a batch of other stuff, or it just kind of wrecks whatever's been recycling. Because using your example, the yogurt pots are just a bit thicker normally, so if your council doesn't have the correct recycling thing to melt that down to a high enough temperature, or in fairness, I don't know exactly how they do it, but our council doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you probably find it's more expensive, or actually by the time you've melted it down, you've caused more emissions than if you just started again.
Yeah.
Who knows? But we now know that because we moved to a new area, and when we moved here, there was a big poster that we saw and we went, oh, you can't recycle that here. But otherwise, we may have just gone, oh, well, yep, I'm recycling because it's the yoga pot.
We totally would, because we would have always done that. And it sucks when I'm putting stuff into landfill that I know that can be recycled somewhere, but there's nowhere locally that I can recycle it, so I have to put it in the regular bin.
But it means that the recycling is better off for it. That's the main thing. So that's the kind of like trade-off.
But I also know that what I am putting in our bin. And there's a few things that, you know, it doesn't matter where you are, this is the case. If you've got a cardboard box that's covered in sellotape, you have to take that sellotape off. If it's got polystyrene packaging in it, you have to take that out.
Yeah.
You won't be able to do it. As much as everyone wants to recycle their envelopes, if you've got a little plastic window in there or a little sticky glue bit at the back, you can't recycle it. Just put it in the regular bin, you know. Yeah. But just know your recycling and know what it accepts. And also, do a bit of research and see if there are alternative places in your local area that will accept other things that, you know, you may, your curbside recycling might not accept, but they might accept it at the, you know, at the refuge centre, or
because they have the facilities for it. You know, you can't, you might, that's probably where you're going to be able to do your garden waste or your electronics and your electrical stuff if you just take the time to take them down there. I know that my work accepts batteries. You can't just chuck them in the recycling, you know, at home. So it's all these little bits and bobs that, yeah, okay, you need to do a bit of research, you need to figure it out. You might need to like have a space in your house or in your shed or in your garage to like hoard up stuff while, you know, you have enough to make it worth a trip. But then you can, and it's done.
And with everything here, just imagine how good it feels. Like, there's things that I do. Like, when I go and get our bread every week, and I take my beeswax wraps, and I get it all wrapped in there, and I take it home, and I know that I haven't taken any packaging from them to be able to, you know, to store and buy my bread. And I'm like, oh, that makes me feel really good.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with feeling a bit smug about doing something green. I think we should all feel it's something that we should be proud that we're doing.
Yeah, and the thing that literally has just popped into my head is recycling isn't just about throwing things away and how you're going to throw them away. It's giving that stuff to a charity shop or shopping in a charity shop. So you literally are recycling it. It doesn't have to get melted down for you to use it again. You know, if you've got some clothes that are, you know, fine, but you're never wearing them or you don't fit or whatever, obviously they're the classic charity shop things. Books, some accept electricals now, so if it's working but you just don't like it anymore.
Or you can take advantage of Facebook Marketplace and you can sell things on there, you know.
Gumtree.
You're upgrading your television, you know, but your one that you've still got still perfectly working, put it on Facebook, someone will have it.
Yeah, and then you have a look on those yourself. You know, there's some absolute steals to be had just because, like
not,
we...
Not literal steals.
No, don't steal. Don't steal. That's not the world. Like, we were leaving Australia and a lot of things were perfectly fine, but we just couldn't take them with us. So a lot of people were like, great, I'll take that. You know, a lamp here and a bookshelf there and all this kind of stuff. You know, it all works. And it's quite nice because we met a lot of people who were just like, brilliant, I've been looking for this for ages. And it just works.
Yeah. So we hope that in listening to this, you've picked on something that you're like, oh, yeah, I could be doing that too. And we're not saying that you need to do everything. We're not saying you need to radically change your life to fit everything in or fit anything that you're seeing on the television or on the internet, you know, that's telling you must do this and you must do that, you know. We're just saying, just keep it in mind and realize that you could do something. That's all. That's all we're asking. We can all do something because this world is rapidly changing, and I'm sure no matter where you are on the planet right now, you're either having strange weather in your winter or you're having strange weather in your summer. I know that we are
both
here. I just meant at this particular time.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know, and that is a result of climate change, and we can all help. We can't reverse the clock, but we can help slow it down. And yes, we need to get big business and major companies and our power sorted out. You know, we really do need to work on those big things, but there are people in this world and people we vote into government that's their job. But everyday things like saying no to a plastic bag and putting your glass bottle in a recycling bin, that's our responsibility, and that's stuff that we can do.
Exactly.
And I think we just need to put on our green hat and do our bit.
I quite like green.
The colour?
I suit green, I think.
You do?
Yeah. Neon, that's good.
Neon green. Oh dear.
I'll be Captain Planet 2.
So we would love to hear what you do to do your bit and what little things you're doing, or big things, to help save this planet and make Captain Planet very happy.
So he can retire a happy man.
Yes,
if exactly. He hasn't already.
Yeah, so you can let us know by email, chasetheredgrape@outlet.com, or you can go over to Instagram at chasetheredgrape and you can leave us a direct message there, or you can comment on the post for this episode. But that's it for this week, guys. I hope we got you thinking.
Yeah.
In your head.
That's the whirring of Jen's
cogs.
Cogs
in the head. We will speak to you all next week for more fun chat and discussion. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.